Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast, This Week in America. It's being called a mind-boggling sci-fi experience. It tests our belief in the paranormal. It's the new fantasy novel series, Seventh Journey, from Robert J.R. Graham. A thrill-seeking adventure that we leave ourselves questioning what we really know and believe about the reality we find ourselves consumed with. A series that intertwines every possible genre, the best in fantasy, mystery, suspense, romance, action, and more. Every page a new twist and turn, not only creatively written, but also very addictive. Roberts, an established author, a senior technology manager, martial arts instructor, and musician, passionate about focusing on self-development and personal mastery. The host of several websites, writing science fiction and personal development articles since 1990, Robert has dedicated his life to uncovering the deep truths within all of us. He's interwoven his own personal adventure of self-discovery, vivid dreams, and unique life experiences into the fast-paced fiction series, The Seventh Adventure. He lives with his wife in Toronto, recipient of the coveted Editor's Choice and Rising Star Awards, as well as the Literary Titan Silver Award. Robert J.R. Graham, author of the Seventh Journey series, Book 1, Book 2, now available, is our guest on This Week in America. Robert, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Oh, that's great. Thanks very much, Rick. Happy to be here.
It is such a really fascinating world that you've created. I'm really looking forward to the program today in talking about that. Let's go back to the very basics, the decision you made to write a book. Why did you decide to start writing?
Yeah, that's a good question. And so fortunately for me, I kind of grew up with my father and grandfather both being in writing professions, more in the editing side. But I kind of had that growing up, all throughout. So, you know, I'd either see my grandfather have something in the Toronto Star paper or, working on some editing, and my father as well. He'd be, he's worked on several magazines throughout his career. So I kind of always grew up in an environment that fostered writing. So I kind of knew that it was always going to be something that I want to do in my life. As I kind of grew older and, experienced different things, I found that it'd be a good way to kind of share my thoughts and my beliefs, and maybe some of the more interesting aspects of my dream life with others.
Well, let's talk about that, specifically the Seventh Journey series. Why this particular book? One review talks about the concepts in Seventh Generation are brilliant, and I think that sort of sums up the reviews you're getting for the series. Talk about what made you develop, and develop, I think, is probably the accurate word, the whole Seventh Journey series.
Well, it's a great question, and I'm very happy with some of the feedback I've been getting. Similar to kind of what you were mentioning with the intro, I've been looking into and researching some of the, maybe esoteric or deeper aspects of, what we call our life experience here. And, some things really kind of stick with me. So, there's some experiences out there that people call astral projection and, out-of-body experiences and lucid dreaming. And I spent a lot of years kind of trying to understand that. That kind of got spawned from a few different interesting experiences I had when I was younger as well. And I kind of wanted to figure out, what is all that about? So that kind of just spun me into a particular direction to just really research all kinds of stuff, and I uncovered quite a bit of interesting material. So I want to kind of knit a lot of that together, because ultimately, I think I've come to a point where I have a fairly good understanding or belief about what I think is going on, and I want to share that with others in a way that kind of be meaningful and interesting. And a lot of the dream sequences that you'll actually see in Seventh Journey are either borrowed from direct dreams that I've had or direct research material as well. So, I kind of put all that together.
You do in such a readable fashion. As we're reading, we're thinking, I've always thought about that, or this is really interesting. And you do it in such an entertaining way with the characters that we'll talk about during the interview. It's the Seventh Journey series, book one, book two, now available by Robert J.R. Graham. His website is robertjrgraham.com. Book available at Amazon, all the usual places. And click onto our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and we'll take you right to Robert's website. Without giving a whole lot away, and I try not to do that too much in the introduction, what's the book about, the basic concepts? Because you really touch on a lot of themes here that are very entertaining and, as well as thought-provoking.
Well, thank you. Yeah, so, you know, if I had to put some themes on book one versus book two, it, you know, kind of looks at the different concepts I'm trying to explore and interested in exploring. So, you know, there's a lot of foundation to kind of lay in the first book. So what I introduced the reader to is a research engineer scientist named Jacob Cross. He's kind of the main protagonist. And he's developed an interesting technology that is really all about evolving the human brain. So, you know, we always wonder, what would it be like if, you know, we could use 100% of our brain capacity and that kind of an idea? Well, you know, this character actually develops what we call in the series an auditum headset. So auditory, kind of, you know, what it does is sends kind of vibrations and different frequencies into the brain, and that started to create all kinds of different experiences for the main character. And he was actually not sure if in the story, if what was happening to him was really happening or not. So it kind of forced him to question his own perceptions about reality. So through that tool, the first book is really about looking at, I would say, the concepts of multiverse, multidimensional realities, you know, out-of-body experiences, you know, telepathy, things of, you know, that kind of a nature. But I really want to kind of get that through in the first book. You'll kind of see, you know, in the first book, the characters have a dual nature about them. So, you know, in Jacob, he's kind of, you know, you're the scientist in Toronto, you know, kind of working with this company called NetX, that is an R&D company that's really trying to create this technology to help people, or so Jacob thinks. So as he goes along the journey and develops this technology, he starts to get information to understand that NetX isn't really all that it seems, and is really trying to use that technology for more nefarious purposes, essentially. So in the first book, you get introduced to Jacob, you get introduced to the CEO of NetX, which is, his name is Edward Aden in the story. And they're kind of polar opposites, right? But with Edward Aden, he's kind of looking to take that technology and, you know, and use it in a much more kind of nefarious type of a way, you know, maybe even controlling people's minds and things of that nature. So they take two very different paths with the technology. So you're going to see this very multidimensional theme play out in the first book, whereas even when they enter these other dimensions, they take on different personas as well. So, you know, that's kind of the first book. And then the second book, it really tries to explain or explore some different themes as well, such as maybe things like reincarnation or multi-life experiences, right? So, you know, maybe it's parallel lives or things of that nature. So those are the kind of the themes that you see in the second book as well. And, you know, you get a much deeper dive into the dimensions that the characters are exploring in the second book, where the story really takes mostly place in the other dimensions. So you're kind of getting a bit of that feel. Wow. The third book, which hasn't been written yet, is which is really in development right now, is about kind of a unification type of an idea. So how are all these things connected? And, you know, how does that serve to kind of take on some of the more negative aspects or characters in the world that are trying to take over?
You know, so much there. I think you just in that couple minutes got people interested. Like, you know, I'm going to get a copy of the Seventh Journey series. I'm going to get book one and book two because I think this is a story that I would like to follow. When you started this, were you thinking about a series, or were you just doing book one that suddenly turned into the first of two, three books that in the series?
Yeah, that's a great question. When I started, I didn't really know how many books. But I had a good idea of this, of I think the overall theme that I wanted to explore. So once it started to map out, once I mapped out the overall characters and ideas, I start to realize, yeah, this is going to be bigger than just one book. And I think it allowed me to then explore more depth.
Yes.
As I went into each one of these different concepts. So it just started to make much more sense to break it up a little bit.
I think it's like a second, third, fourth season of a television series you're watching. And the first mm-hmm. one, you're sort of busy getting the groundwork laid. Characters are getting introduced. And then second, things to really start to take off. We've got that knowledge and they can build on that. And that's what happens in Robert's series, the Seventh Journey series, Robert J.R. Graham. His website is Robert J.R. Graham, GRAHAM.com. What's unique about this book? A lot of sci-fi books are out there. You really come at it from a whole different angle. You're bringing different elements into this that makes it a really exciting reading experience. How would you categorize your book as being why it's so unique?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Thank you. So what I really want to focus in on was, you know, I never really, you know, growing up, I read a lot of different sci-fi and fantasy. But what I never really got a sense of was an exploration into other dimensions. What are these other dimensions? You know, I read different books about people that had maybe different out-of-body experiences or, you know, had these really elaborate dreams, right? And all of a sudden, they're painting portraits of other places that, you know, are fascinating, right? Maybe not the same physics apply. Maybe, we communicate differently in those different dimensions. So I never really got a sense of, from any of the material that I had kind of grown up with, that there was really a serious look at, you know, what is a technology that could bring us into these other dimensions? And, you know, what would a story look like if it was bridging across all these dimensions? So, I think that's a pretty, you know, that multidimensional aspect of the book, I think that's pretty unique, I think. And also some of the identities of the characters, because it is so multidimensional, they're able to connect to their counterparts, I'll call them, as they go into these other dimensions, and yet they're the same person. So there's really different sides of the same coin that you get to see through the book. So I think that's a different way of exploring content, is looking at it through, you know, the same character, but, you know, maybe different aspects of that character's personality kind of come to play. And that kind of comes through the, those individual characters themselves as they interact with the world. Maybe another thing that's interesting about it or unique would be, I have not in my own, I'll call it, you know, growing up with it, but, you know, I've certainly over the last 20 years or so been exposed to a lot of Arabic culture. So, what I wanted to do was paint a picture of some of the more spiritual, mystical aspects of that culture. And not only that, but even other cultures as well that have really delved into mystical kind of spiritual type of aspects of their cultures. And start, you know, and that's where a lot of research came from as well, is looking at that. And, you know, you start to see some common themes about how a lot of these different cultures are knitted together through some core ideas. So I try to, you know, create an experience really where people get a sense of that. And I think, you know, I've touched on it a few times now, but that kind of astral projection, out of body type of experience, I think that could really be explored more. You get a little bit of that in sci-fi, but there's really, it's more literal in sci-fi. What I like to do is use this technology in the book to kind of go through and explore the other dimensions.
Yes.
and to really understand that. And I think those are some of the unique aspects of it.
Well, so often something like astral projection is written about in a very superficial way. So we really don't get the nuts and the bolts, and it doesn't really develop. You've got basically, it sounds like, 20 years of your life sort of research for the Seventh Journey series. The research, mm-hmm. the questions that you had are all reflected in the two books, the Seventh Journey series, book one, book two, by Robert J.R. Graham. RobertJRGraham.com is his website. You'll find the book wherever books are sold. Let's take two of these. Don't have a lot of time, but I want to touch on these. You mentioned astral projection and lucid dreaming. Let's focus on those two topics among many that you discuss in the book. What exactly is astral projection?
So, you know, thanks for the question, and I'll kind of give you a couple stories from my own experience, and maybe that will help paint the picture. So lucid dreaming, I'll start there, is really this idea of being awake in your dream, very awake. So you're in the dream, but you're awake, and you understand even that you're inside of a dream. So because you have that awareness, you can kind of, the world becomes a lot more malleable. And you kind of awaken to the fact that you're dreaming. So I had a dream, and I'm not sure really how to classify it, if it was a out of body or if this was an astral projection, maybe somewhere in between that and lucid dreaming. And this is kind of goes back to your question of, you know, what really made me think about writing a book at some point. So I was younger, I think I was about maybe 14, 15, but I had this really vivid dream. I was in a library, very old looking library, a lot of wood, a lot of old kind of leather bound type of books. Very peaceful kind of place. It didn't feel ominous at all. It was very kind of nice. And I'm sitting like kind of cross-legged on a couple pillows or something like that. And, there's a stack of books in front of me. Across from that stack of books on the other side is what I could best describe as, it looks like a bit of a monk, right? Wearing kind of a robe or something like that. And, you know, he was just sitting there. And then I look at the stack of books and I start, you know, looking through them. But the books themselves was interesting because the letters or the words just kept flowing. They wouldn't stop. They wouldn't fixate on a particular sentence. And I'm trying to read this, but it's almost like as the harder I tried to read, the harder it was to read it. I looked across at the monk and I said, I can't read these books. Why can't I read these books? And he looked at me and he said, because you haven't written them yet. So I woke up from that and that just kind of stuck with me, as you can imagine, for many years.
Exactly. Yes.
So that kind of put me on this path of, maybe I should be writing some books in my life. And that kind of took me down this path. Another really interesting experience, and I'll call this one this is pretty much as good as an example of an out-of-body as you can get. Or astral projection, right? So I was about 7 years old. I had a dream of kind of hovering over my grandfather as he was being kind of carted through or wheeled down in a gurney type of thing through some hospital doors. Looked like a bunch of people were working on him. I didn't really understand. I was 7 years old. I just kind of was hovering over him as they were wheeling him down this hallway. And then I got this sense from that the dream in that experience that my grandfather had passed away. And then I got awoken abruptly from the dream from my mom sitting on the edge of my bed. And she was in tears a little bit. And she said, I have some bad news for you. Grandpa's passed away. And then I knew exactly what she meant. And my answer was, I know, I just saw it. That's as close as I think you can get to a really solid astral projection experience. Those are the two different ways I could explain that. And those kinds of things happened to me all my life. You can imagine, I want to knit all those different kind of experiences together, and, you can call them whatever you like, but at the end of the day, I experienced them. I want to kind of put them into a very interesting story that explained what I think they are and what some of those experiences might be.
And again, because these are your experiences, you bring that belief and that makes the story come alive, because you're just not sort of sitting there trying to make up something. You're actually going back and reliving some experiences that you had in your life. It's all in the Seventh Journey series, book one, book two. Robert J.R. Graham is our guest on the program. A few minutes left here. I want to take just a second here in talking about dreaming. Is there ever such a thing as a random dream, or is there meaning to dreams that we just don't fully understand?
I think the random dream idea absolutely exists. Where those dreams play out might be what's in question. Is it really synapses firing in our brain, and so where is the dream really occurring? Is the dream occurring, between my ears, Or is the dream occurring somewhere else where, you know, maybe it's in some sub-reality where our consciousnesses all seem to go when we're sleeping? And in those sub-realities, whatever can play out because it's harmless, essentially. I kind of tend to believe more of that. And I do think that, the randomness of dreams absolutely occur. And sometimes you have a sprinkling of something that might be prophetic. It's something that might be meaningful or deeply meaningful to us. That's my thought is, the only really person that can interpret your dream is you, because, you'll see things in there that have meaning to you. And then whatever you walk away from that dream with, is something that was really kind of meant for you. But I do think that, randomness happens. I don't think, we should spend all of our waking hours analyzing every single dream that we have. I think a lot of them are just potentially, the brain working out certain problems throughout the day. But where do those dreams really occur? It's hard to say. There's a lot of out-of-body experiences that happen after the physical body has ceased to function, right? The brain synapses have stopped firing. The hearts have stopped beating. The body's, the body's still, on the operating table, if you will. And yet the experience of that individual is still occurring somewhere. And then, and then they come back to tell the story. So, yeah, where do those dreams occur? I think that's really the question. But I do think that they, may have a lot more meaning than we give them credit.
Boy, we could do a whole hour or two just in talking about dreams. The time has gone by so quickly. I would just two things here at the end. Timeliness. Your book really touches on timely topics, doesn't it?
I think so. I think there's some aspects of this book that are pretty timely. I think there's a lot of folks that that might be really interested in, the hero aspect of the book. There's the typical type of hero's journey that, any good story will have. So I try to bring that evolution of that character there. So, I think we're all trying to evolve to a better version of ourselves. And I think that's really key. And I think that this journey that, you'll experience as you go through the book helps you get there a little bit because, it talks about different ideas and maybe helps you with different ways of thinking. But I think outside of that, there's that classic kind of a good and evil battle. And I think at any time point in our history as humanity, we've always kind of wrestled with what is that absolute good versus what is that absolute evil? And how do we reconcile and move forward from that? And that's a really big key theme of the book as well, is that kind of battle of good and evil. There's good and evil. There's the, the Jacob character on the one end, and there's the Edward Aden character on the other. And Right. They kind of create these two polarities. And that wrestling, is a timeless kind of experience as well. And I think also the Arabic theme is an interesting one because it paints the I think their culture, and I have to say that the Arabian group that I created in the book is completely fictitious, but it does bring and borrow a lot of research into I think what makes some really beautiful aspects of that culture. So painting that culture in a very spiritual, unifying kind of a light is a different way of looking at things, and I think that might be timely as well. So I think those are some interesting themes that people will be interested in checking out.
And also technology. We think what we can do with technology, and it's sort of like whatever we want to do, eventually we're going to be able to do it. And you come up with the technology and you're thinking, this is for the good. This is going to make the world a better place. And then as you mm-hmm. mentioned, the nefarious positions and uses, something that we think is good could enslave millions, which you touch upon in the book. The book is the Seventh Journey series. We'll close out by talking about the title. Why is the book called The Seventh Journey?
Yeah, I get that question a lot, actually. For me, the theme or the number seven, for whatever reason, and I don't think the jury's out on exactly why, but has certainly seems to be a recurring number pattern that's occurred in my life. And I want to kind of stitch that into the story a little bit. You know, I'll let the readers look at, you know, what does the number seven potentially mean? They can go do some research there. You know, from a life path perspective, it seems that, you know, the number seven was a pretty key theme for me. And, you know, so I wanted to kind of wrap that into the book as well. You know, the number, so that number actually seems to come up quite a bit in the story as you go through it, especially around the multidimensional aspects of the story. And, you know, there will be something in book three that will really kind of stitch together the ideas of why it's seventh journey. Well, what is journey? Journey is, you know, we're going through something to reach the other side. And why seven? Well, you know, there's going to be some ideas around why these characters have been so intertwined and why that number seven really stitches them all together into kind of an epic battle or dance that really will settle the fate of existence itself in the book. So that's kind of a key theme.
Our guest on the program is Robert J.R. Graham. That's G-R-A-H-A-M. His website, robertjrgraham.com. The book's the seventh journey series so far, book one, book two, both available, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. You can get them as well at Robert's website. Book three will be coming out, and hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that as well. Robert, time went by too quickly. It was really great having you with us on the program. So much that that we talked about, so much more that we can talk about. Thank you for spending some time with us on the program.
Oh, this is great. Really appreciate the time, and I'm happy to explore all these ideas with you. Thank you very much.
It has been enlightening and entertaining, as the series is, the Seven Journeys series by Robert J.R. Graham. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.